Good morning. It is a Friday, December 9th, 2016, 11:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And this is a special edition of the Now program because I'm sure as many of you know by now, very sadly, yesterday, the world, the United States, and certainly us here in Ohio, lost an American legend, treasure, icon, hero. I even saw on CNN last night where they were calling him the last American hero. John Glenn, former Senator John Glenn, certainly heavily involved in the space program, first man to orbit the Earth in 1962, also the oldest man to go into space in 1998 at age 77, passed away yesterday at the age of 95. This hour, we are going to remember him with two people who knew him pretty well. At 11:30, we're going to break for a moment, and we're going to get Hugh Downs on the telephone, legendary ABC, NBC newsman who actually did the report, did the news story for 2020 in 1998 when John Glenn went back into space as the oldest man ever to go into space at age 77. And they also were friends and in studio were joined by the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, who knew Senator Glenn rather well as well. Mary Ellen, when you heard this news, what'd you think?
Well, I knew that he was really up in years, but I was kind of surprised because I hadn't heard that. I had just heard like the day before that he was in the hospital, and so it was a surprise.
Back in 1962, just being around, what was it like when he orbited the Earth? What was the feeling?
Oh, the feeling was relief when he made it back down because, you know, it sounded like he had a little bit of trouble before he landed there, and we were all really glad that he made it okay.
What made him this American hero? A lot of people went into space, but his name is always on the tips of people's tongues.
You know, it is. I said when you're with him on the street, it's like walking with a rock star. Everybody adores him, and he's a wonderful person. He just really was. And I didn't know the other astronauts, but I mean anybody that would go up in space like that, and if you've ever looked at what he went up in the first time, you'd really be amazed too, because it was just like he was scrunched in there, you know.
In the 1960s, to put this into perspective, 1962, when he orbited the Earth, this is before men walked on the moon. That's the famous footage we always see from 1968. This is really foreign territory to anybody in 1962, outer space.
Yes.
And yet he had the wherewithal and certainly the brains to be involved in that program.
Yeah, to be picked for that tells you that he, well, you know, he exercised religiously, and he really worked at whatever he did. He really was dedicated to whatever he did.
I was reading this morning, and I did not know this, that he was very good friends with the Kennedy family.
Yes. Well, yes, he knew Bobby so well that when Bobby got shot, he had to tell the children, and yeah, he even told me about that himself.
How did that all come about, having to tell the family?
Well, he was there, and I'm pretty sure he was there, and they had him tell the children. I don't know how it came about otherwise, but I knew that he did.
Did he talk about how horrible that must have been?
Yeah, he did. He said that was about the roughest thing he ever did. Yeah.
I believe in the paperwork I was reading this morning that it was Bobby Kennedy who encouraged him to run for the Senate.
Was it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I believe that's what I read.
Yeah.
What do you think it was about John Glenn that made him want to... Everybody has a reason that they want to get into politics, I think. Something happens in their life. What do you think it was with him after being world-renowned from 1962 on?
Well, you know, I think probably President Kennedy had talked to him, wanted him to run, and, you know, when the president wants you to do something, it really affects you. And I think that had a big influence. And John Glenn was a person that wanted to make things better.
And we do have to mention, because people forget this when history does happen, when John Glenn, Senator Glenn, first ran for the Senate, he did not win in his first race in 1970. Actually, that's not correct. I believe the first race was in the late 60s. He had to drop out because he had fell and hurt his head somehow. And then when he ran the first time against Metzenbaum in 1970, he did not win.
No, I remember Metzenbaum was here in Marion at he was out at the Fish and Game talking. That's where the Democratic Club met. And he was talking about running for the Senate. And they had sort of a little bit of trouble getting along with one another at first, I think. And then they finally resolved it. But, yeah, John Glenn did not win the first time.
You've talked about what it's like to lose an election. I think you only lost one time.
That was enough.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. When you do lose one time like that, and for Senator Glenn, it was his first time in a full-out election, why do you think he came back?
Well, he came back because he had the urge to run, and he just wanted to run, you know.
When did you first come in contact with him?
I met him the first time here in Marion. It was in the Harding Hotel. We were having a Democratic fundraiser, and he was there. That's the first time I met him.
When you first walked up to him, what was your impression of him?
Well, I was really impressed with him. You know, we knew he was an astronaut, and he was so friendly, and it was, you just knew that he was a good person when you looked at him.
When he's in the Senate these years, what kind of senator, how would you rate him as a senator from Ohio from the early 1970s through 1998 when he finally left?
Well, I think he was a very good senator. I went to him a couple of times. One time when I was president of NASAC, the National Association of State Treasurers, Auditors, Comptrollers, and Treasurers, and we were preparing to go to Poland, and we needed his help in the preliminaries of it. And he helped us with it. They passed a bill or something. I can't really remember the exact details, but I remember going to see him and talking to him about that. And of course, many times he helped me out in my races. He did television spots for me, and was very helpful to me. And I introduced him so many times. I introduced him, we both were on the train that went to the Democratic Convention in 96, and with the president. And I introduced him, we were outside of Marion, I think near Marysville or somewhere, I'm not sure. But we stopped there and we all spoke. There was a huge crowd, and I introduced John Glenn at that point. I introduced him many times here in Ohio. Yeah.
When you had to prepare an introduction to introduce this astronaut senator, somebody who would become a presidential primary candidate, what are the type of things you wanted to highlight in introducing this man?
Well, I tell you, I had one wonderful introduction, and I can't remember what it was, Scott, but I know they really thanked me for it. Both he and Annie thought it was such a good introduction, and it's, you know, I'm at the age where you don't remember everything, so I can't remember what I said.
Well, when you would go to him, because you knew, obviously, he's not only a big name in Ohio, but a big name all over, to ask him to do some work for you, TV spots, how does that happen? And do you talk to him? Do you talk to his people? How does that process happen?
My people talk to his people.
And he agrees or doesn't agree?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
When you saw the campaign spots when they were done, How'd you feel about them?
Oh, I felt they were great. Yes, I was always thrilled when he did a spot for me. I remember sitting in this, we were both in this studio, had Halloween decorations all around, and I was number one in investments in the country, and he looked at me and he said, "Are you number one in investments?" I said, "That's right." You see, he was double-checking to make sure what he said was correct. Yeah.
So he was a very studious gentleman.
Yes, yeah, he was. Yeah.
How long did your relationship continue on with him? Was it after you went to Washington? Because there would have been a four-year period where you both were there.
Yes, well, he was with me, and so was Metzenbaum when I was interviewed in the Senate. And he called me when the whole Senate voted the next, well, it was 2 days after that, I think. He called and said he had a unanimous vote. And told me, and I would see him every once in a while, and one time after the situation happened with the president and Monica Lewinsky, he came over to my office in Treasury, and I remember we talked about it and talked about, you know, that the president had such a good record and how this was the only thing people were going to remember. And I thought about that and how true it was.
Yeah, to this day, unfortunately.
Yes, right.
When Senator Glenn comes into your office for whatever reason, is it a thrill? Because he's not just another politician. He really was a celebrity.
Oh, yeah. I think it's when he brought me the $20 bill that he took up in space. He brought it back to me.
Oh,
yeah.
Talk about that 1998, when you heard at 77 years old that he was going back in space. What was the feeling in Washington? What was your feeling about
that? Well, I was excited for him because I knew he really wanted to go. And so I got a $20 bill that had the serial number of the date of his flight, which was 10/29/1998. And I wrote "Godspeed, John Glenn" on it and gave it to him, and he took it up in space. And then after he got back, it was a couple of months later, he brought it over and gave it back to me with the certificate signed by all of the astronauts. And I was thrilled to get it back because I was so glad to get it. You know, I didn't know he would do that.
Being that he lived almost 20 years after leaving office, do you think he wanted to leave office, or did he like being a part of the game?
I think that last campaign with Mike DeWine was so rough. I think he'd had all he wanted of it.
What kind of politician, as we just came off a presidential election, would you define John Glenn as? Had a lot of races in his career from the 70s till the late 90s. Did take a stab at president in 1984, running against Mondale.
Yes, I was with him when he decided to drop out at the event, and how that felt.
What happened in that campaign in 84?
Well, evidently they wanted Mondale, you know. I don't know. It seemed like John Glenn was running out of money was the biggest thing.
I know that I've read many newspaper articles from that time that say there were many people who felt the only person who was going to pose a threat to incumbent President Ronald Reagan at that time would have been somebody with celebrity, which John Glenn certainly had for as long as Ronald Reagan had it, and yet that presidential primary in 84 just never got a lot of traction.
No, it didn't. I don't know. After it was over, he was It improved him, and Annie, you know, stuttered, and she got over the stuttering due to him running for president because she didn't want to have that situation if he was going to run for president. And you never know why things take off and why they don't.
When you were there, when did he decide he was going to get out of that race?
Well, it was, I can't remember exactly when it was, Scott, but he it was when he realized that he didn't have the money. He didn't want to go in debt. He did have a small debt over it, you know. Yeah.
How hard do you think that was for him? Because that really was his last shot at that, the presidency.
Well, yeah, He was considered for vice president then, but never. He didn't quite make that either.
Why do you think that was? You would think in today's celebrity-driven society that John Glenn would be a cinch for a running mate, if nothing else.
Well, I think it was, wasn't it when Humphrey chose Mondale, was when he was being considered. And Humphrey probably knew Mondale better, and, you know, I don't know. There's a reason why things happen. We don't know.
I tell you, we are going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back and talk with Mary Ellen before the show's over with about his relationship with his wife, Annie, and years out of the public eye after he left the Senate in 1998. But we do want to check in with ABC, NBC newsman Yu Down, so we are going to try to get him on the phone here during this very quick but important break, so stay with us. It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, right here on WWGH Radio from 12:10 to 2 p.m. Listen to the program for guests like these. The voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid and actress Pat Carroll.
And I think villains are the most fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better?
I guess.
But there is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, ugh, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors.
That?
Because you can pick all the things in life as a human being that annoy you or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean. Most people are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly. And we know that being rotten mean isn't going to get us that. But, oh, villains for actors are the best things in the world to play.
You know, Pat, that almost describes our current political situation in this country.
Doesn't it just? I never thought of that, but you're quite right.
Join me Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. We'll take your calls, 740-383-9944. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
Hello, this is Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And you know, Charlie Evers is a Marion radio legend. And you can catch him right here on WWGH 107.1 FM and streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Charlie also takes your calls on anything under the sun by calling this number, 740-383-9944. Speedy delivery.
The Fayee Bank Charlie Evers Show every Wednesday and Thursday, 10:10 a.m. till 12 noon, and Friday, 1:10 p.m. till 3 p.m. on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Scott Spears back with you here, paying tribute to John Glenn on Friday, December 9th, 2016, 11:34 a.m. Of course, Senator Glenn passed away yesterday at age 95. We are going to have Hugh Downs, but actually he was indisposed at the minute, so we will have him in about 15 minutes here during the last 10 minutes of this broadcast, so hang on for that. But we do have 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, in studio with us, who knew Senator Glenn well. Mary Ellen, what was the relationship, 73 years of marriage to Annie? What was that relationship like as you observed it?
Well, it was a wonderful relationship. I I tell you, Annie would sit with, well, Norman would sit with Annie because they were the spouses. In fact, Annie called him the spouse. And he would sit with all of the other candidates. And she was such a support for him. And all those years, you know, it was amazing.
Can you imagine at this point in her life what this loss means to her?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen or heard her on television to know how she is. I don't know how her health is. I was wondering, you know.
When you are somebody like John Glenn, when you leave office, 1998 he left office, he certainly did not go away. Stayed very active in schools and things like that. Did you see him at all after he left office?
Yes, I saw him a few times. I would see him at the Democratic conventions, and I ran into him a couple of times otherwise. But, you know, he had the courses at Ohio State, which I thought were tremendous for the training of young people to get into politics, which we certainly need. I hope somebody continues that on.
When we look at this, not to do any kind of critique here, but in the days of John Glenn in the Senate, running for president, possibly being considered for vice president, how is that different from the politics of 2016 and the election of a Donald Trump?
Well, as I said, that last campaign he had against Mike DeWine was really a rough campaign. I remember they used the Energizer Bunny against him, and he said it was really a disgrace against the Marine Corps the way it was done. I know he was really upset about that because he was a Marine, you know, and I think the politics then was pretty bad, but they're really bad today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I was reading this morning that when he ran against Metzenbaum in the early days, one of the things Metzenbaum used against him was the fact that he was an astronaut and had never been in politics.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, they kept saying that about Trump. He hadn't been in politics, so.
How effective of a senator do you think he was over his term?
I think he was an excellent senator. Yeah.
What makes a good senator? Because I'm shocked when I ask somebody, what does a House member do? What does a senator do? People don't really know. What made him effective for the state of Ohio?
His honesty. And his just the way he was just very well liked. You have to like the people I think you vote for. I feel that makes a big difference. And he was such an honest guy.
So many people, some good, some bad, have left us this year. Muhammad Ali, Fidel Castro a few weeks ago, John Glenn now. Does he rank in the pantheon of people who changed the 20th century?
Oh, yes, I think he did, yeah.
What would you consider his greatest accomplishment?
Well, let me think. Oh, it had to be the first space shot when he went around the Earth.
I remember when he did go back up in 98 at age 77, that President Clinton and Hillary both went to that event. For people who weren't alive then, and it's hard to believe that there were some because it seems like recent times, I remember it very well, but what was the mood in Washington around that event?
Well, I was there, you know.
Down in Florida.
Yeah, I was at the event, and I remember we were all very, very excited, and they told us about things that how it was going to happen and everything. And I remember when it went up, there was like static, And I had never heard that when I was at home watching it on television or any other shot that went up. But it had that static every once in a while going up. And I don't know, it didn't take long. It was gone.
Why was it important for you to go to that event?
Well, first of all, I wanted to experience it.
It was a very big deal, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember DiCaprio was there. He was right outside our bus there, and we saw him. And, of course, a lot of famous people were there.
When you look back at your career, because we've talked about a lot of the great people you got to meet, Margaret Thatcher and, mm-hmm. and celebrities and people of that nature, mm-hmm. where does John Glenn rank in that?
Well, he's way up there because he was such a good person, yeah.
When we look back at his life, 95 years of it, how do you think it's going to be looked at by historians?
Oh, it's going to be a great thing in history, you know.
For people in Ohio who, as I say, maybe were born in the last 20 years, what should they know about John Glenn?
Well, I think they should know how he worked at everything he did. He worked hard at everything. He worked hard as being an astronaut. He worked hard at being a senator. And then he had these courses at Ohio State that he was involved in. And they have his memorabilia, which ought to be a wonderful thing. You know, I think that's a real coup for Ohio State to have that.
Do you think in the last years that when he would go to something, like I believe it was last year when they dedicated the airport to him, do you think that for him was a good moment, or do you think it was just another, because he seems so, I want to put this the right way, he seems so everyday. He just seemed like a normal, everyday guy who happened to be involved in extraordinary things in his life.
Oh, that's the way he was. He was just an everyday guy that did a lot.
Yeah. Do you think that when these events were happening and all the honors were coming late in his life, do you think that was, because for some people it does become embarrassing when you're a shy person, mm-hmm. or do you think he just, by that point, had realized who he was?
Well, he never flaunted what he was, ever, yeah.
Do you think he knew that he was John Glenn, by meaning to say that he was this man, the first man to orbit the Earth, somebody who did so well in the Senate? Did he have was he well aware of who he was, do you think?
Oh, I think he was, yeah. I think he was probably very happy about the whole thing.
When you look back at his career and things he did personally for you, how much did it mean to have John Glenn?
It meant a lot, because he was such a good person. You know, you really want somebody that you believe in helping you. You don't want somebody that you don't believe in helping you. And I always felt that he was on the ball, and he knew what he was doing.
You talked a little bit about the conversation you had with Senator Glenn during the Monica Lewinsky thing.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think, just an opinion, 73 years with Annie and never any scandal, never any problem?
No, he some of the astronauts did have, but he never did. And I always was, I thought that was so remarkable of him.
Was there any difference between the public John Glenn and the private?
No, I don't think so. No.
Why do you think, when you look back at it today, a sad day with his passing, that he came to your office during that time and had that conversation about Bill Clinton?
Well, you know, it was very upsetting at the time, and you really felt deeply about it. I was glad to talk to him about it.
When you look back at his life now, how will you remember him?
Well, I remember him as a very special person, yeah.
Was there anybody in those years in Ohio that was bigger than John Glenn?
No, no.
How do you think this will all go down in the history books? How will history reflect on him?
Oh, I think it'll reflect very well, yeah.
Is there any downside to John Glenn?
Not that I know of, no.
I'm trying to think. I was trying to run through my mind of all people who have been in the political field.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't ever think of there was that thing with the Keating Five that he got mentioned in.
Yeah, that was really immaterial.
Yeah.
I remember we were at the Democratic Convention and we'd all gone on this tour I think it was on the trolleys, and John Glenn said he was going to run back. He was going to run back to the hotel, and Norman said, "I'll run back with you." And they both ran back to the hotel together. But he was always very conscious of keeping himself in good condition.
I was going to ask you that. To live to 95,
yeah,
be in as good a shape as he was, there is this thing that he kept in very good shape.
Yeah, he did. Uh-huh, yeah.
When he, and I do want to let people know this, you were very kindly let us use a photo here in the studio, and if you ever walk through the Marion Center Mall, it's very apt today because it's right in the lobby of our studio. We're right next to the Crafter's Coop. There is a picture hanging right inside the door. If you come right inside the door to your right, you will see the picture of Mary Ellen and John Glenn.
And that was taken a long time ago.
Do you remember where that was?
Yeah, it was here in Marion. It was probably, I would imagine it was at the Harding Hotel.
When you look at that picture today, what does it make you think?
Well, I think there's John Glenn and I.
Yeah. When you live to be 95, of course, death is never fun, but it's a good long life.
Yes, yeah. Right.
And he accomplished a lot in his life.
Yes, it's right. Yeah.
Do you think the memorial plans haven't been released yet, but do you think this will be something that most everybody turns out for?
Well, there'll be a big crowd, I'm sure. I was wondering where they were going to have it, if it would be in Columbus, or I'm sure they might have something in D.C. as well.
I think it will probably be in Columbus because I think there's his final resting place is going to be somewhere in Ohio because I know his home.
Oh, yes, he's over there beside the Wilds. He was in that area over there.
You know, it's interesting. I saw an interview he did last night. I was watching one on Charlie Rose, and he had said because of living during the Depression, he never threw anything out.
Yeah.
So after he became an astronaut and a senator and retired, when people came back to him and said, "We want to do museums," which there are, and want to have all these things, he had them.
Uh-huh.
Because he never threw anything away.
Yeah. He kept a lot of things in his basement, I know. Yeah.
Well, what I was thinking about, he even purchased his childhood home and had that when they wanted it for these museums.
Well, yeah, and he had a home in Washington too. In fact, it was fairly close to where we lived, and I was to it a few times, and it was a lovely home. It was on a golf course, but he didn't play golf, but it was a good view.
with just a couple minutes left, there are a couple questions I want to get at. A lot of people, once they go to Washington, do not come back and make their primary residence in the state they came from. You have done it, and John Glenn did it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think he did it?
I don't know why he did it, and I don't know where his children are. I have lost track of where they are.
What was it important for you? Because I imagine some of the same reasons would be their family.
Yeah, I came back because my family's here. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something about the state you come from different from any other state?
Yeah, why would I want to go somewhere else? You know, there's places I loved, but I wouldn't want to live there. this is home, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the final question, if you were giving a speech about John Glenn today with his passing, all those introductions you gave him, what are some of the things you would say about him? How do you remember him?
I remember him as a good friend and somebody that would help you when you needed help. And he was honored and revered by everybody.
He truly was. This is a seminal passing when a former senator and an astronaut get the coverage that he's gotten, and he certainly deserved it.
Yes, that's right.
Absolutely deserved it. Mary Ellen Withrow, 40th Treasurer of the United States, we thank her so much for coming in. Thank you, Mary Ellen.
Oh, you're welcome, Scott.
And we're going to take a quick break again and try to get you Downs on the line to remember John Glenn from his perspective.
Everybody's talking about Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio from legendary comedian Kay Ballard performing the fast food song.
Oh, there's one song that you like. I feel that, you know, fast foods have ruined the world.
Oh.
On the Champs-Élysées, on the Appian Way, there's McDonald's. By the Tomb of King Tut, there's a Chuck full of nuts and McDonald's. At the Scala, they sing by a big Burger King where the styrofoam boxes go sweet. What's the use? What's the hell? I just heard Taco Bell went and franchised a wing at the Louvre. You know, I could go on and on and on, but that's it. I love things that are topical and that are kind of true.
The legendary actress and the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
What would we do without gossip, for heaven's sake, Scott? Oh, it's naughty, but it certainly fulfills a certain catty side of all of us. Oh, good Lord. When you think of the gossip sessions you've had with friends over the years, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's like putting your hands in front of a lovely fire.
Twist
I would do anything you want, Scott. You know I enjoy being on your show. But well, just let me talking and I keep going.
It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Join me.
Hey, Scott Spears back with you here, remembering John Glenn this morning on this very special edition of the Now program. With about 8 minutes, 7 minutes left in the program, there's a gentleman I wanted to check in with. We thank Mary Ellen Withrow for being on the program this morning, 40th Treasurer of the United States, here from Ohio. That is Hugh Downs, former NBC/ABC newsman who did a big story on 2020 in 1998 when John Glenn returned to space at age 77, being the oldest person to ever do that. Hugh, how are you?
I'm fine, Scott.
It's good to good to speak with you.
Yeah, same here.
What do you remember about that big story you did in 1998 on 2020 on John Glenn's return to space?
Well, for one thing, and I don't think this was publicized enough, it did a great thing for aging. He did experiments, medications and types of stuff that he was breathing and everything that was very useful to the process of aging. And all kinds of medical things that go with aging, because that had never been done before, you know, where a person would be subject to that kind of gravity change or that kind of inhalation. And I thought he did a great service to the whole study of aging in that move. It impressed me a lot.
You, correct me if I'm wrong, but did you not tell me that one of the reasons you left 2020 in 1999 was that when you would bring them a story like this, that they really did not want to do, you had to push for this story?
Well, yeah, and I didn't really get to do what I finally did for ABC. I did the 2020 thing for 21 years, and it allowed me to get away from ordinary news. You know, ordinary newscasting is reading headlines. That's all it amounts to. So when you can get to what I got, and I was very grateful to get it. I got the 10 minute thing. I thought I'd never do anything more than 10 minutes, but I did 2020 for 10 times, you know, 10 decades.
Absolutely.
After doing that, I just I got so that I could, and I did that for 21 years, as it turned out, because at the end of 10 years, I looked around and there wasn't any place that was up. So I did it for another 10 years, and then for some reason I did one extra on that. But that got me away from ordinary newscasting, and I could do take an issue and explore it as much as I wanted to.
What kind of man was John Glenn away from the lights?
He was a very honest guy and a very courageous guy. That was the thing that I remembered about him. I remember having breakfast with him one time, and we discussed the terrible tragedy, this will tell you when it was, of the first Apollo trio that got burned up on the ground. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
Yes, and the problem was, we both agreed it was something terribly dumb to do, to fill the cannot, they had spacesuits on, which didn't make any difference, but the ambient atmosphere at sea level is about 14 pounds per square inch, and if they were in space, they'd have about 3 pounds instead of 14. But the 14 has an awful lot of oxygen in it, and they filled the capsule that these crazy guys are going to be in with oxygen. And we just said, how dumb can you get, you know, to do that and then lock them in to where it was all right, but the kind of fire that caused when it sparked, did ignite everything, melted a lot of the metals and reduced to some of what was welded together on the inside, would at way before that temperature would simply become dust. And yet it will create an extremely hot fire, and these guys were put into that. And John and I talked about that at our breakfast one time. We said, how could whoever did that be that dumb? It was a cruel and almost unpardonable thing to do.
You, I have a couple questions for you here in the last minute here. I remember during that interview back in 1998 that you had told John, because you and Senator Glenn were the same age, you said, if they want to see how 90-year-olds do in space, let's do it together. That was always an ambition of yours.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that recently. That's true. We kind of agreed that would be a good time to make a try at it. And that could be done, because aging is just not, when you're 90, if you're lucky enough to be healthy, not have a health issue that is bugging you, it doesn't make any difference that you're 90. That's a secondary consideration. And we thought it would be very much fun, but we would have done something together in a two-man capsule, I suppose, that would get us someplace in space and get a lot of publicity and a lot of fun.
Before we wrap up this interview, I want to ask you this. You have an interesting perspective. You were friends with the man. You are the same age as he was when he passed away yesterday. You both saw the 20th century together. You were both well-known people. And when you look back at the man who in 1964 was the first to orbit the Earth before men walked on the moon, ran for Senate in Ohio, won several successful terms, was the oldest person to go into space in 1998 at 77 years old, ran in the presidential primary in 1984, was considered many times to be the vice presidential candidate, and has an airport named in Columbus for him. When he left us yesterday, how's he going to be remembered?
You know, it's hard to tell. I suspect that he will be mostly remembered for space and ideas of man conquering space. And I'm sorry he didn't live to be able to go out to the International Space Station and spend a week there, because once you're in there, you don't have to wear a suit or anything. You just float around because there's no gravity. And I think that'd be a neat way to live for, and I'm sure John would have done that. He could then, because you remember when he had done the orbiting around the Earth, that was when President Kennedy said he would not be allowed to do anything more, because anything that would happen to him, since he was such a hero, would be very damaging to America. And so he had to live with that, and he went and did other things. And I don't know how he'll be remembered, but I suspect it will be something that has to do with space in the future.
Is he one of our bona fide heroes in an age when Donald Trump can win the presidency? This man was involved with politics. Is he a bona fide good guy? No scandal there. Just an Ohio boy, right along with you and I. He's an Ohio boy, too.
Yeah, and I'm certain there was no secret scandal. Something that he knew and nobody else did, because he wasn't that kind of a guy. He was really a straight arrow type, and that was. In fact, I think he was kind of, they made fun of him for being that honest and that moral, and I think he was right to the core.
Absolutely.
But he'll be remembered for space and other.
And a great long life, certainly.
Yeah, I'll say so. I haven't seen any account and don't know of what it was that killed him. You know, it was, to my knowledge, he was as healthy as I am. And so something must have got to him that we didn't know about.
Absolutely. Well, it has been a pleasure to talk with you. Can't do a John Glenn tribute program without you, Downs. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Scott.
Bye-bye. And that wraps it up, and there's really only one way to end this program, as we remember the legendary astronaut, politician, and just all-around good guy, a true hero who left us yesterday at age 95, John Glenn. Godspeed, John Glenn.